Welcome in on a Wednesday version of the show where we'll hear plenty of the football head coach Jeff Scott coming up in our second segment. You'll also hear from Johnny Ford, who was tremendous when he spoke to the media at the Selman Athletic Center, which was quite the hub of activity. More on that in a second, but for its namesake, Leroy Selman would have been 65 on Tuesday. We certainly remember him any chance we can. And he would have been pretty excited about what was going on. As I said on Tuesday, you had members of the basketball teams, football, soccer, volleyball, all crowded around on the soccer stadium. Why? Because the Stanley Cup was there. That's right. Our relationship with the Tampa Bay Lightning made it a natural thing where the Stanley Cup was on display from Corbett Stadium. This was the thing that I talked about on yesterday's show that I couldn't quite mention because, you know, don't want people just sort of randomly stopping by to see if they could get in and sneak in for a photo with the Stanley Cup. It was just members of the USF athletic staff, and boy, did they take advantage. If you want to check out my photos, I put them out on Twitter at Derek Sharp, D-A-R-E-K. S-H-A-R-P. So women's soccer, as I'm thinking of them, you might want to go to GoUSFBulls.com and read the article that Tom Zeebold wrote. It was posted on Tuesday about what that team has just been able to accomplish. And again, one of the many teams that is right now in the practice mode. And once we get into 2021, every single one of those teams is going to be on the field and actually playing in games that count. But the next team that's going to be playing past football is, well, both the basketball teams. And I was able to take in some men's basketball practice. I'll give you some observations on that coming up in just a little bit. And again, Jeff Scott and Johnny Ford in our second segment. But first, it was a chance for women's basketball coach Jose Fernandez to meet with the media and catch us up on where they are right now.
I'm happy where we're at. Again, this has been an incredible start to the season, which all athletic departments around the country are going through this right now. So before these five practices, we had 17 team workouts that consisted somewhere between an hour and a half and 2 hours. And before that, we had position workouts for at least a month, month and a half. So we're definitely ahead of schedule than we've ever been in the past. As you know, the American Conference has gone to 20 league games, so we are managing that. Right now, we have four non-conference games scheduled that we feel really good about, and we need one more game to beat a 25 because, you know, you can play in 20, have 23 games and then play in a MTE, but we lost the MTE when the Battle of Atlantis got canceled. But feel really good about our schedule. We know we're going to play four league games in December and the other 16 in January and February. So we'll be prepared for that.
Kind of gives you the layout of the schedule. And I was certainly going to ask this question, but Joey Knight beat me to it, which was great. If you just heard the numbers there, 20 games in conference, 5 games out of conference, meaning if the conference is kind of down without UConn, you better load up at a conference, and you only have 5 games to do it. So, does Jose Fernandez feel like that non-conference schedule is going to be strong enough? How about dropping some major schedule news on us while answering that question?
We only got 5 opportunities, Joey, and we need to schedule another great one. We got Baylor here at home. We got Mississippi State here at home, so I think those two are really, really good. You know, we got a couple in-state schools that we will play in the other two games in Stetson and Jacksonville right now. But we need another top 25 RPI game, in my opinion, and that's what we're looking for right now to finish a schedule.
Well, you just heard it. A couple of powerhouses that the Bulls actually played last year. We went to Waco and really gave Baylor quite a test, and then Mississippi State was part of that event in Las Vegas. And the Bulls are going to have both of those teams at the Yuengling Center. It's not official. There's not a date officially put out there. But yeah, I may or may not know what those dates are. So you can look forward to the Bulls taking on those teams along with Stetson and Jacksonville. But that next team, again, I mention this because winning the American Athletic Conference Tournament is certainly in the realm of possibility for the Bulls. In fact, you would think once the league predictions come out, they're going to be right there predicted to win the thing, if not right near the top. But just in case, maybe you lose in the championship game, You want to have that strong schedule, want to have that strong non-conference schedule to impress the NCAA tournament committee. And Baylor and Mississippi State, if the Bulls could pull off one of those games, but you still might need that one additional game, and that's why whoever gets announced last on the schedule will be a pretty important moment. And yes, alas, although I fully expected this, no trip to the Atlantis for this year's event. Kind of makes sense. Now, how about a rundown of the roster? Good job here by Coach Fernandez of letting you know what it's looking like.
When you return Aliza Pinzon, all-conference at the point guard spot, you got Sydney Harvey and Elena Saniki, which that's a pretty good backcourt right there in itself. And in the backcourt as well, you got Brabankova and Alvarez. And I thought Christina Bermejo had an unbelievable offseason. She's going to play at the wing and also going to play some four. And Sarah Guerrero. The incoming freshman. Mihaela Lazic is healthy, so I feel comfortable with Pinzon and Lazic leading our team at the point guard spot. And our front line with Leverett, Bia, and Manunga, and you got Bermejo down there. I think we're going to be pretty solid.
Thought it was interesting there, the three freshmen and the fourth newcomer, there's only four newcomers, Teresa Vichalova, who will not be eligible this year, that he just mentioned the one, and I really think that because of all the strength coming back, you're really not going to need any of the newcomers to make much of an impact. But it was good to hear him mention Sarah Guerrero, who, as I was able to check out the first practice last week, could really tell she's just got that athletic build, that knowledge. You could see that she knows where the ball should go, and haven't really been able to observe if she can shoot the ball right now. That doesn't seem like it's very important because the Bulls already have enough players who can shoot the ball. You just heard him mention Sydney Harvey. She's one. Aliza Pinzon really came on from three-point land last year. And, of course, you also have Maria Alvarez. That's her specialty. And Elena Chenecki, who can really drain the three as well. So the Bulls may be in some fine shape when it comes to that. Now, speaking of Maria Alvarez, first of all, is she healthy? And then we'll transfer from that into the answer of a question that I had for Coach Fernandez of, you know, is there a possible alignment where you could have Pinzon at the one and then somehow have both Harvey and Alvarez in the lineup? First of all, I'm guessing that's not going to happen, but the point is they have a lot of players that are all going to play. You'll hear him speak to that and then transfer the answer into something completely different, which it sounds like the coach wanted to get out there.
Good. You know, she's done a lot. I anticipate her going some contact here in the next week and a half. But she's running. She's doing all drills. She's doing all non-contact. That's the next step. But we're still a month away from playing. So I feel pretty good of where we're at. We're looking at only playing 8-9 games in November and December. That's a lot different than we've played in the past. You know, I think all those guys are going to play a lot of minutes. You know, Sydney Harvey and Elena Saniki have had unbelievable off seasons. I find it hard to believe that both of those guys stay healthy. They're not two of the best players in this conference. So, you know, we just got to continue to get better every day. You know, I know it sounds like a cliche, but, you know, have great intensity, have great unity, have great accountability, all those things. We're definitely good enough and we're definitely talented enough from top to bottom. Now, that has to now translate to us playing every possession, doing a great job taking care of the ball, rebounding, shooting well from the free throw line. So that's what we anticipate doing. So we still got about another month to get this team ready. I like where we're at, and we'll continue to progress. There's a lot of excitement here in the Tampa Bay area with the Lightning winning Stanley Cup, now with the Rays in the World Series, Bucks with a big win over the weekend. Yeah, I tell you what, I've been really impressed with Coach Scott and his staff and what he's done with our football program. You know, sometimes you know, us coaches get judged by wins and losses, of course, but what he's done with the culture of this team during a pandemic and with racial and social injustice in the middle of a very heated election and a lot of different beliefs around this country. You know, we need to support these guys. We need to support their staff. We need to support their players. People don't understand what these student athletes are going through right now. Having their whole lives changed with internet courses. Their training schedules changed. Their preparation for practice, for games. So this is a time that we need Bulls Nation to support our athletes more than ever. It's great to support every program when they're winning and we're going to tournaments and playing in bowl games. But, you know, we need the true fans to really support these student athletes and our players and coaches that are investing so much time in the future of our country.
Amen, Coach. And then one more from Jose Fernandez on basically the expectations. Remember, two seasons ago is when Kit Loxa got hurt, Laura Ferreira got hurt. They had to settle for the NIT, where they went to the second round. Last year, they were NIT bound, had a rough trip to Cancun, Mexico, went 0-3, and that kind of set them back in the overall standing. Still had a good regular season, but not good enough to make the NCAA tournament. This year, expectations.
At Temple and Cincinnati split with UCF, and you're sitting at 22-23 wins, and it's a different scenario, even though no one got an opportunity to play postseason. I'm excited where we're at. This program continues to be a shining star at this university and athletic department, and I think across the country. I think we've been consistent. Last 9 years, we've won at least 19 games. I think six of those years, 21 seasons, and three of them, 19-win seasons. So we're definitely gonna have some high expectations, in my opinion.
And we're still more than a month away from the season starting, but as you heard, thanks to Coach Fernandez, the schedule is going to be pretty quick and exciting right from the beginning. So we look forward to bringing those to you here on USF Bulls Unlimited. Same thing for the men's team. Again, that whole Thanksgiving week / into the weekend is when things are going to begin, and we'll give you that news right when we hear it. Coach Brian Gregory hasn't exactly come out and said who the opponents are going to be, but trust me, they're going to probably have kind of a balanced situation right now, it looks like. That trip to Atlanta to play LSU is still on. Who knows the last five or six games, but either way, let's talk about the actual players. And when I went to practice on Tuesday, got to see the team go through its workout. First of all, awesome to be able to be welcomed by Coach Brian Gregory. Really appreciate him saying I can come by whenever I want to, which is nice, very nice. His staff is unbelievable. And the guys are just like a machine right now. Some terminology that may sound a little bit confusing to me, those guys just all at the snap at a question from Coach Gregory knew the answer to. Those guys, you know, LaQuincy Rito was so outstanding, goes without saying. But then, you know, I realized after about 10 minutes of watching practice that, you know, I'm not going to say we didn't miss LaQuincy Rito, but you weren't thinking about, oh boy, Rito would be so good here, because you could just see Xavier Castaneda's strength in running that point. And we've talked about him, Caleb Murphy, great to see him in action. You could tell he's a freshman as far as his build goes, but you can also tell he has just got some amazing talent and confidence, not cockiness, confidence, and that's a big difference. And if there was any concern about the point guard position, there shouldn't be, because Castaneda just seems built for it, and I mean truly built for it, in a guy that's not looking to score first but distribute, and he has so many different options to distribute. Caleb Murphy can also handle the ball. If they needed David Collins to run the point, he could. And just to show you how much talent there is on this team, guys that I'm not going to say you forget about, guys that you don't think about at first when you're a Bulls fan, like Rashawn Williams. He had a sequence where he, in about a span of 15 seconds, had a follow dunk that was just spectacular that would be on SportsCenter, and then was the target for a pass for a three-point shot, which he drained. Justin Brown, confident making those three-point shots. Madonna Ketch, trying a lot of three-point shots. And then the two big guys in the middle. Great to see them in action. Russell Chua, the transfer from Texas Tech, 7-footer, and Prince Adora, more of a power forward, the 6'8" guy. And one thing that I really enjoyed watching was Big Mike Durr. Don't forget about him either. You could tell he is keen on, not going to say mentoring Chua, because they're about the same age, but helping him as much as possible, not viewing him, in other words, as competition. You could really, really see that. So it was fun to watch. Luke Anderson, a kid is from Lakeham, another transfer from Iowa State. He is not going to be pounding it inside like those two gentlemen, Chua and Odora. He is going to be more on the perimeter, but he can also play defensively inside, and I think it's just a really balanced team and a really exciting one that we're looking forward to covering for you here on USF Bulls Unlimited. So that's my viewpoints. We'll have more chances to go to practice. And if you want to check out my Twitter page at Bulls Unlimited, I put out a lot of photos as well. Next up, we'll hear from Jeff Scott and Johnny Ford. This is Bulls Beat.